If you got your Bible, we want to go back and try to finish up this lesson. If God were going to teach us what love was about, when we study the Bible, it's not intended to, hurt anybody's feelings. You ever heard anybody say, "Boy, he got on my toes tonight"? You know that every time I open this book, I'm kind of like Paul. The better picture I have of the Lord, the more I realize that I need to be more like Him. I was standing out here the other night, and I was talking to some men after we had a deacon's meeting. And I said, you know, the more I learn about God's Word, the more I realize I don't know. And sometimes when I'm studying things and I look at it, and I feel like this, it's almost like, you ever thought about it this way? By the time I learn how to live, it'll be time to leave. Because I feel like I know about that much, just a smidget, about the Word of God. Sometimes I've said this to my own self, boy, I wish I knew when I was 20 what I know when I was 40. I said the same thing when I was 50. Wish I knew when I was 40 what I knew when I was 50. And I'm sure that I'll be saying that, Lord willing, if I live long enough to be 60 or 70. If you look in your Bible, we want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And what I handed out was actually page number 4 of a lesson. We got to keep moving, or if I go back and really hash too much of it, we'll never get it done. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, the title is called The Way of Love. I believe what I understand, this book of Corinthians was written by Paul, approximately A.D. 59. And the word, if you go through the King James Bible and you look at it here in this particular chapter, every time you see the word charity, it's actually referring to the word agape love, which is has a specific meaning, and it's a special kind of love. Now, we know there are four main Greek words that represent love. Three of those are mentioned in the Word of God. One of those is not in the Word of God. But if we were to have the Lord teach us what love is, I believe this is what He would teach us. And I want to just kind of review these, and you got this at the bottom of the fourth page. That's where we're going to start. The review of love. And you can find this if you read through the Bible. Now, I'm reading out of a King James. Has anybody here got a ESV or a NIV or anything like that? Do we have any other versions here? The reason I ask the question is I want to know how many Bibles, if you have a different version, does it show charity or does it show love? What?
NASB shows love.
Okay. Does anybody have an ESV or a NIV? NIV? Does it show love or charity? Have you ever had anybody say, "I love you," and you wonder, "I don't know"? Or what do they mean? I mean, my kids, they use the word love. Love. But here's what they say: "I love pizza." My son Luke, he has said this to me lately, and he's all over me. "Dad, I would just love to have an iPhone." Okay? He's wanting one bad. I'm telling him, "Son, I'd just love for you to behave, and you might get one." But sometimes here's the problem. When you say love, you don't know what people mean. Well, God's trying to teach us what He means, and I want to get to that in just a minute. And I believe that's what this chapter is. Now, the challenge that I have, as the Lord teaches me, is to be more like Him every day. And I was thinking today as I was studying, I was sitting at lunch studying, there is a family that's in this church, that's some members of this church right now, that we were praying for before they ever joined. And they came into Brother Keith's salon, and he was cutting one of their hair, and he started talking to them, and he recognized who they were, and he said, "Oh, we've been praying for your family." And here's what the person eventually said: "You know, we get that all the time, but we don't really know if people pray or not." In other words, we don't really feel like, sometimes people say they care. Do you really always feel like they care? When people say they're praying for you, do you believe they're praying, or is this, it's in passing? God wants us to see more than that when He's talking about love. So let's see the review. If you go through the scripture, and I've got a lot to cover, so I'm not going to go back and read that whole chapter. But here's what we've studied. Love is patient. That's where it says in the King James, it says charity suffers long. It has a long fuse. It says love is kind. It is gracious. It is tender. It is helpful. Love is not jealous. That's where it said charity envieth not. It's not possessive or envious. Love does not brag. That means it vaunteth not itself. And it avoids magnifying itself. And folks, we touched on that, and I'll mention it just again, that for a person to ever really be used by God, they got to get that. You got to get rid of yourself. There is no place for arrogance or self in God's work. Okay? You got to be a servant before you can be a leader. That's why the Bible says, and it's written for the qualifications of a bishop, not a novice, lest he be lifted up with pride. Everything we do in ministry is about the Lord. It's not about us, okay? Love is not arrogant, is not puffed up with pride, does not act unbecomingly. That means that the Scripture says does not behave itself unseemly. Means it behaves, okay? Means it does right. I heard a preacher preach a message one time. This was his subject. He said, do right and don't worry. He said, that's my motto of life. Now he said, you know, my wife wishes I would do that. But that's what he talked about. Do right, don't worry. Love does not seek its own. It said, seeketh not her own. It means it supports others. If you go to the next page, page 5, here's the rest of the picture. All right, we made it to verse number 5, and we're going to try to get through this tonight. And here's the first thing. Love is not provoked. What does it say? Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Now, here's something to think about, and I want to give you a verse of Scripture. And I think you might have it on your page, but it's in Psalms chapter number 119. And verse number 165. I want to flip over there and read that so I won't misquote it. But when I first came to the church, this verse was actually on my heart and my mind. I can remember talking to the pulpit committee, and I used this verse. This is something I want you to think about. This is a challenging verse, okay? If love is not provoked, that means it does not have sharpness of spirit. It is not irritable or touchy. And is not quick to take offense. Now, folks, at the end of a long, hard day, that's tough, right? That's tough when you come in from the end of a long, hard day. It says love can live with unpleasantness of others without becoming unpleasant itself. Now, I'm not telling you what I know or what I can do. I'm telling you what I believe the Word of God is teaching us. Listen to this verse in Psalms chapter 119 and verse 165. It says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now that verse is tough. That verse is tough. But when you go back and you read this scripture in its context, and I went back from there and I read beginning in verse number 161, because 161 through 168, that's the context of that particular passage of scripture. And it's talking about being persecuted without cause. It says, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Now, I'm going to try to get through this, but I heard a story one time, and this is the way it is in some countries of the world. They don't have what we got. They don't have a Bible. You say, everybody's got a Bible. Well, if you got one in certain places, you better hide it. I heard a missionary said he was in a particular place, and he said, I was walking, and I heard some rustling in the bushes. I went over, and there was a guy that was there, and he was shaking. And he said, I looked down to see what was going on. He said he had a page of a Bible, and he had it wrinkled up in his hand. He said, because he was afraid, he didn't know who I was. He thought he might be persecuted. Do you know there are certain countries of the world, like the Sudan, where people are being killed every day for their faith? And if you look at the context of this scripture here in Psalms 119, and you look at that verse, and it talks about the persecution. It talks about how heavy the hand was upon me, but I turned my eyes back to the Lord. And if we look at what Christ did for us, while we're going through this and we're talking about love and God's trying to teach us, He demonstrated everything we're about to read when He was on that cross. And I was thinking about it today, and there's so much in it. There were 7 cries from that cross. Think about those. But he did what he did, and he suffered what he suffered because he loved us. Verse number 5, the rest of that verse, it says, thinketh no evil. That means it's not quick to suspect the worst and thinks good things about people and not bad. Now, I sometimes need help with that too. You know, I've heard some folks say, and I've said it, I'm not Jesus. But I ought to try to be more like him. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he ought to walk even as he walked. That's 1 John. You read 1 John, he's like James. He's tough. He's tough. But I believe he understood this. Verse number 6, let's read verse 6. It says, rejoiceth not in iniquity. And sometimes, here's why people, I think, sometimes misunderstand the word love. You ever heard this? If you really love me, you will. If you love God, you will. I've heard that. I've heard preachers, and this is what's sad, and this is what's true. I've seen preachers take this book and use it on people like it's a whip. Okay? A demagogue, somebody who uses the authority, the position for their own agenda. I've seen it happen to where whatever the agenda is, they use and they push, if you love God, you will. Now, let's be real careful with that. And here's what I believe that real love is. It seeks the highest and the absolute best for others. You know, the problem with love as we understand it and we know it is we think that love is a feeling. But when you study this scripture, you find out that love is not necessarily a feeling, but love is what you do, or in some cases, what you do not do. I want to flip over to Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. And this was some of the scripture we had when we first started this lesson, but I want to read this again, and I want you to think about this. It says, Romans 13, verse 8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Now, you look at those things, those are listed in the Ten Commandments. But here's what I believe God's trying to do in grace. He's trying to bring all that together. And he says, if you understand what agape love is and you love somebody, you're not going to have to worry all that about all that. Listen to what it says. It says, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And here's the issue. In other words, if you love somebody, you're not going to do anything to hurt them. You know, we got a problem today. People say, I love you, but they'll hurt you. And they'll treat you wrong. You ever had anybody put their arm around you and it's almost like this? That's the way you feel. They got your arm around you loving you, but that dagger goes right in your back. If you love somebody, you're going to do right by them. I hate to see what's going on in our world, in our country. I saw, you know, on the news last night, or maybe it was this morning, they had a guy that was in a convenience store, and he was insulted for being in there. And when he left, two men beat another man down in the floor right there. And I looked at it, and I thought, it's really a fulfilling of the scripture. Matthew chapter number 24, the Bible says in the last days, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I talked to my wife about that, and I don't fear a whole lot of stuff, but let me tell you what I fear. I fear my boys going maybe to see a concert or going to a ball game and somebody killing them for their tennis shoes. I fear that. I fear living in a world where there's such a lack of understanding of what love is that you see things like that done. You know, if you love somebody, you do right by them. Look at verse number 6, the rest of it. says, love rejoiceth in the truth. And I believe if we understand this, that love and truth are partners. And here's the point. And this is what makes this is very tough. But if you love somebody, you will tell them the truth. Even if sometimes it hurts. And there's a verse of scripture for that in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now, I don't know if you've ever had to do this, but it could be, you know, I believe a parent's always a parent. Okay, I know my kids are going to grow up one day. My boys are going to get married, and they're going to have kids, and I'm going to have to do what biblically I'm supposed to do is back off. Okay? That's really tough for mamas. But there's something I'm also supposed to do. Remember Eli and his sons? Remember, Eli's sons were disobedient to God, and they were continually disobedient to God, and he would go and he'd speak to them, but sometimes you got to say, that's not right, and you can't do that. Sometimes you got to say this, you can't do that and live in my house. That's tough. That's tough. But I believe that's sometimes what you got to do. You know, sometimes you say, and I've heard this especially, and when we ask prayer and God gets a hold of them and God begins to work on them, I've even seen people get to the point that they say, well, God, I wanted you to get a hold of them, but God, I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want you to, and it's almost like this, God, I didn't want you to do that to them. You know, we can say we love them, well, I love them. But I guess the question, and it's a different kind of love, are you loving them to death? Because you can love somebody to death by allowing, enabling, and this is a part of something we deal with in Celebrate Recovery, is codependency and being an enabler and allowing somebody to self-destruct because you won't stand up and tell them exactly what's wrong in their life. See, love and truth are partners, and one thing I'm thankful for is being a Christian. When I come into the house of God, I want God to speak to me. I do not want to be allowed to go my way because I know. I've been around long enough to know that if I go my way, I know how I'm going to go. You go back to Eli and his sons because Eli did not deal with the corruption of his sons. The priesthood was taken away from Eli. And he fell backward off of a mansion. He broke his neck. And Samuel took his place. You know, love rejoiceth in the truth. And we want God's truth to be made manifest in this house and in our lives. Verse number 7, it says, it beareth all things. That means I believe that love endures all things. And I got a verse here, Proverbs 17:17, says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You don't want to find who your real friends are. Get to needing them. You know, love bears all things. And here's the thing, and I've learned this, a real friend won't leave you when things get tough. A real friend won't leave you when you're down. A real friend's not going to leave you even when you're in trouble. I made this comment to my boys, and I'll tell you why I made this comment to them, because I love them, and I remind them of this. I remind my son of this, driving a vehicle. I don't like having a 17-year-old in a vehicle, okay? Remember a few years ago, there was a lady up in Douglasville that went past a bus sign, past a red sign, it was raining. A fine Christian lady, could have been anybody sitting in this church, went through that bus sign and ran over a teenager, 2 years in prison. Right up here on Highway 92, right where I-20 is at. I know the young man that got hit by a car. He had just got out of jail and walking down the side of the road. When I pastored before, this boy, young boy used to come to my church. Walking down the side of the road, and a teenage girl hit him with her car. She panicked, and she ran, and her brothers took her car to Alabama to paint it. Thought they were going to get away with it. But you know, they couldn't sleep at night. But she didn't get away with it. You see, I told my boys, I said, I don't care what kind of trouble you get in. I don't care what happens. I said, you don't ever run. You pull over and first call you make is me. You know why I said that? I said, I don't care if it's your fault, their fault, anybody's fault. I love you. I'm going to come. Can I tell you that in mine and your life as Christians, we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. We're going to do some stupid things. We're not always going to be exactly where we need to be. We're going to be in trouble. It may be our fault. It may be somebody else's fault. But one thing I believe that God wants us to understand in His love for us, He said, call me. I'll come. You can call out to Him and He'll come. You say, well, it's my fault. Guess what? I want to ask you a question. You think when the Lord was on the cross, anything we do surprises Him? He loved us. What does it say? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He loves us. And I heard, and Kendra and I, for about 10, maybe 15 years, we would drive up to Blue Ridge to go see Kendra's grandmother, Miss Parks. Now, I can remember the first time I met Kendra's grandmother was up in Blue Ridge, and it's on Yukon Road, and I went over and we sat on them same brick steps that sometimes we sat on. Now, we're just little kids then. We're both, you know, young. But I can remember the first time I sat on them steps. But from that time, all the way back then, Kendra's grandmother was losing her memory. She would leave the stove on and she would misplace things. And as time went on, she got to where she couldn't cook. She ended up in a nursing home. And eventually, before she passed away, she couldn't feed herself. And eventually, the body forgets how to even chew. But I can remember going to that nursing home and going down those halls and seeing, and you could tell who was loved. When you see a man go in and he says, I'll feed my wife. And he takes that cup and he sits down beside her and he's talking to her in soft and kind words. And you hear somebody say something like this, honey, you need to eat. Honey, you need to take a bite. You know, when I married my wife, we were just kids. Yeah, maybe not. 22, 18, you know, now it seems like a long time ago. But I made some vows. And I have no idea what we're going to face in our life. But by the grace of God, with the help of God, understanding this scripture, I want to be that man. I want to be that man that bears all things, because that is what I believe God is teaching us. He bore it all for us. Every example we look at in this scripture, He did it for us. Okay? It bears all things. Verse number 7 says, love believeth all things. That don't mean that love just believes just anything. Here's what I believe it means in this context. I believe it means to trust. Love believeth all things. That means love is trusting and not suspicious. And love gives the benefit of the doubt. I can remember one time, and this has been years ago, and sometimes I think about the years that have gone by and the service, the people I know that have already gone on to be with the Lord. But I can remember down in the church that I grew up in, down in Riverside Community, Welcome Hill Baptist Church, we had a family down there, Mr. and Miss O'Neill. They were elders in our church. And I can remember when Kendra and I first got married, she worked in the daycare center, and she'd bring kids home, and they'd stay with us sometimes for weeks because their mama didn't want them. I mean, you know, if you want to adopt a kid, just go work in the daycare center. You'll get one. She'd bring these kids home, and most of them didn't trust me, and I had to earn anything I got. I remember one time I had a little boy, and he wouldn't talk to me. We stopped at McDonald's, and I finally turned around and handed him a French fry. He opened up a little bit. But you know, truth is, I found out most of these kids were mistreated by a man somewhere down the road. She brought two little kids home, a boy and a girl, and her name was Johnny and Dana. We made them a pallet, and they would lay on the floor, and she had put the pallet on the heat vent, and they'd lay there, and at night when they went to sleep, these two little kids would hold hands because that was the only security they had. This little boy, he opened up to me, but that little girl never one time let me get anywhere near her. And I knew she had been abused. You know, when we look at what love is to trust, not suspicious, gives the benefit of the doubt. Now, I want to read this comment here from Alan Redpath as he illustrates love. It says, love takes the kindest view of others in every circumstance, as long as it possibly can, and love will consider the motives and make every allowance for failure. And even when a man is fallen, love will think about the battle that he must have fought and the struggle that he must have had before he went down. Now, when I read that, I want you to flip over. If you're off, flip over and read it. Psalms chapter number 37. And I want to read you a couple of verses. And let's remember, God is speaking to us, but I believe, remember this cross. Psalms chapter number 37 and verse number 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. God already knows. He knows all about us. He loves us just like we are. Let's look at the rest of verse number 7. It says, love hopeth all things. And the word hope usually brings to mind wishful thinking like this. And I've got on here, I hope I make an A on the test, or I hope he gives me a warning and not a ticket. And I thought about this one. I hope the Georgia Bulldogs beat Alabama in the SEC playoff. Terry's shaking his head. He says, no hope. But don't we do that? But that's not really what this is talking about here. See, the biblical concept of hope goes beyond wishful thinking to a confident expectation. Okay? There's a difference. Hope in this context, it means love always sees God's ability to work and do his best in people's lives. See, love never loses hope, and it believes that the potter's hand can still shape souls. And here's what I want us to see in this. Have you ever seen a situation to where you just think, I don't know how in the world that can be remedied? I don't know how. It's like this, a broken relationship. I'm talking about bad things happen. And you think, I don't see how in the world that can be brought back together. It could be a man and a wife. It could be a family issue. It could. It could be people who maybe at one time were friends. How many of us have had in our relationships of life, and for me, spending my whole life in church, it could be somebody that I used to love and go to church with. And you see the brokenness, and it's broken and it's shattered, and you wonder, how in the world can it be brought back together? And here's what I see. Love never loses hope because God has the power to change. What does it take to change? It takes repentance. Well, what is true repentance? True repentance is to turn. Turn, repentance is this. You're going this way, and if this is the wrong direction, you turn and you go the right way. What happens when people truly repent? The Holy Spirit moves, and there is healing. There's a movie called Fireproof. Most of you have probably seen that. In that movie, the guy and the girl, they're fighting, and they're going at each other, and, you know, he's a bad guy, and she's hurt, and she's, you know, beginning to have feelings for somebody else, and you look at this, and, you know, what we do naturally is, how in the world can this be restored? How can anything happen? But at the end of the film there's a scene where she's standing in the bay, out in the bay where the trucks are, and he's looking out the door. And they say, man, your wife's here. He said, she is, really? And she goes out there, and she had put back on her wedding ring. She had put on a dress, and when he comes out, she's crying. And she says, if I hadn't told you that I love you, I do. If I haven't told you that you're a good man, you are. If I haven't told you that I believe in you and I'm proud of you, I am. And here's what happens. When repentance comes and God moves, forgiveness can be real. Restoration can be real. I believe that God has the power to restore, but it takes us doing our part. But He, folks, He can do His. He can do His. And that's what redemption is. I'm glad I'm saved, amen? And I look at these things and I know, I mean, I'm not always nice, am I, Kendra? I come in sometimes tired and I'm grouchy. But you know what I sometimes have to do? I say, honey, I know some of you like the Fonz. I have to say, honey, I'm sorry. You ever apologize to your kids? If you hadn't, maybe you need to. I wish my kids apologized to me. Look at this latter part of verse 7. It says, love endures all things. Endures all things. Means love perseveres, it never gives up. And here's a word picture from a commentator, Robertson. It says, love carries on like a stout-hearted soldier. You can shoot at it, deprive it of food, of comfort, and of recognition, and even launch an ambush against it. But it just keeps marching on long after the events and the emotions tell it to stop. Here's what love does. Love says, I'm going to do the right thing no matter what. It endures all things. I'm going to do the right thing no matter what. And I thought about that verse, Brother Larry over there, that says, yet if we believe not, he still remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, I'll give you a verse that goes right along with that. I'm going to read this in Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 34. When Jesus was on the cross, and this is one of the cries from the cross, as he looked down and they were parting his garments, and they were, you know, he was there dying on the cross for their sins, Jesus hanging in Barabbas' place, and at his feet were people gambling for his coat. And he looks down and he says this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's what our Lord did for us. He endured all things for us. See, it does not mean that we just let people walk over us, no. But I do believe if we look at verse number 8, it means that love does not fail. And I believe the love of God has changed the world. You know, sometimes we get all excited about things, and I want to tell you, folks, presidents come and go, leaders come and go, and I'll tell you even this, countries come and go. Entire kingdoms come and go. But God is not. And the ultimate example is in 1 John 4:8, says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And I want to tell you this little story, and then I'll be done with this study. This is a true story. It's a story of a boy who was a Christian who went into a military situation. I don't know if it was Army or Marines or whatever. But he was around people who were brutal. Now, I've heard this said, and I believe it's true, that sometimes the high school years are the worst years of somebody's life because of bullying. You get a mild, meek-mannered Christian, and you put him in a environment to where he's bullied, and it will affect him the rest of his life. And folks, I could tell you some stories myself. But this young Christian boy, he went into the military, and while he was there, he was in boot camp with some guys that were just brutal toward him. They mocked him, they made fun of him, they picked on him, and they pushed him around. One day he was in there and he was talking to them, and they came in, and one of them picked up a boot and they threw it and hit him right in the face, and it busted his nose. Busted it bad. And they were laughing. And rather than retaliating, he reached up and got some of that blood. And he said, it was the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for your sins. And God loves you. He said, you know, what happened, obviously, is he suffered. But through his suffering, it broke the spirit and the crudeness of those men. And one of them actually became a Christian and came to Christ. You know, The problem we have, we understand and we're glad we're saved, but we don't know what God's going to call us to do in the name of agape love for Him and for His honor and glory. I don't know what I'm going to have to do in my life. I don't know what kind of caregiving I'm going to have to give. I don't know what my wife and I are going to face. We don't know what we're going to face with our children. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know that no matter what tomorrow holds, God walks with us. He is with us. He endured all things for us. And if we walk with Him and stand with Him, He'll give us exactly what we need. And I believe that. Amen. Anybody got a word or anything you'd like to say for the Lord? Any comment on the Scripture or any word you'd like to say tonight?